Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Theme we're considering this winter is renewed character, what the character of God's people look like when touched and renewed by the grace of God. So we'll read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, focusing on verse 8 this evening, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Listen closely, for this is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray your Spirit would descend upon us, open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things from your word. Touch us, draw us nearer unto Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A violent storm struck one night. The next day, a large, stately tree was found lying across the road. Nothing was left of that old tree except a splintered stump. When the tree was examined, the reason soon became very apparent. It was rotten to the core. Thousands of tiny insects had eaten away at its heart. And so that stately tree, contrary to all appearances, was actually quite feeble. And it was not from the wind. It was not from the rain. Its weakness began the moment one insect first nested in its bark. And what is the lesson we learn? Guard your heart. Protect your soul. Or life's falls can be great. Now, the scriptures do affirm that all of us are born in sin. From our conception, we are born and conceived in sin. And yet, the corruption of that sin in our lives takes place one step at a time. Rarely does a person seek or set out to be corrupt. "I think I'll murder today. I think I'll be a terrorist today." It usually begins with smaller steps. An indiscretion here, a peccadillo there, indulging your eyes a little too long, coasting too much in your personal life, letting thoughts drift into the gutter. Now, we often call these things by very innocent names. We call them things like white lies, petty theft, soft porn, harmless flirting. But over time, and before you know it, the wood is completely rotten and we're poised to fall. And so let us guard our hearts. That brings us to our first point this evening as we look at this beatitude of blessed are the pure in heart. And the first point this evening, if you're taking notes, it's a very simple question. What is the heart? What is this heart Jesus refers to? That's our first point. Well, if you read the Gospels, Jesus is forever talking in the Gospels about the heart, about the human heart. Now, the heart is mentioned in the Old Testament as well. Jesus in the New Testament talks so much about the heart, not because the Old Testament neglected it, but because the first century Pharisees neglected it. The Pharisees had a bad habit. They had become ever so consumed and interested in the outside, how things appeared. And so in their interactions with Jesus, the Pharisees are always interested in pots and pans, in washings, in ceremonies. They focused on the outward and ignored the inward. And so in the Gospels, Jesus speaks frequently and of necessity about the human heart. Now, what does Jesus mean by the heart? That's our opening question. Well, today, when you and I think about the human heart, we often think about emotions. You know, I love Valentine's Day. I remember as a third grader making my Valentine's Day box and creating it and putting it on my desk at school and creating little Valentine's cards to spread around and often make them the shape of a heart. We often think of heart as love and emotions and romance. When we think of the heart, we think of having a heartthrob. We think of having a heartache. Or we think of having a broken heart. But Jesus, when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart," he was speaking to more ancient Hebrews, not to modern Americans. The ancient Hebrew understood the heart to include many things. To include our thoughts, to include our will, so in the Bible, the heart is the inner person. It's the inner you. All of those complicated things that go on inside of you and me, all united together in the Bible is the heart. The Bible is the heart is the control tower of your life. The heart is the cockpit of your soul. The heart is all of the network of moods and ideas and convictions and imaginations swirling around inside of us. The heart is like a clover leaf, a freeway clover leaf, where all of the emotions and thoughts and wishes converge into one. No wonder the Proverbs tell us, above all, guard your heart. It's telling you to guard the inner you, the part seen best by you and by God. So guard it. And when you protect it, you are protecting all of life. I moved to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to go to seminary. On the north side, they're in Glenside, Pennsylvania. And I remember when I moved out there, I was about the age of 25, it was the first time that I really regularly started seeing oil refineries in Philadelphia there, right along the water area. And you go by the oil refineries, and they're very complicated. There's so many components. There's all these tubes and pumps and switches and hoses and tanks and filters, all in one giant mess. And the function of that mechanical maze is found in its name. It refines. It refines gasoline, oil, chemicals. A refinery takes whatever comes in, filters and purifies it so that you can use it. As the writer Max Lucado points out, a refinery does for petroleum what your heart should do for you. Sifting out the bad and making use of the good. Guard that. Guard that function of the heart. It is the refinery of the inner you, and it is the refinery of your outer life. This brings us to our second point. The first point, what is the heart? The inner you, all that's mixed together that makes you up. What is the second point? And it's this. What does Jesus mean when he says, blessed are the pure in heart? What does he mean by pure in heart? Well, he means two things. Firstly, Jesus means blessed are those who are moral on the inside. Who are moral on the inside such that it shows up in our outer life. Blessed are those, to use another metaphor Jesus was fond of, blessed are those who have good roots that show up with good fruit. Does that make sense? That's how the heart works. You see, a good refinery will sift out the bad and use the good and produce high-grade, high-octane fuel. A bad refinery mingles the bad with the good and produces low-grade fuel. And that's how you can tell the condition of the refinery. Evaluate the quality of the fuel. Evaluate the quality, and so it is with the human heart. Jesus puts it another way in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so by this beatitude today, dear church, Jesus is asking you a question by this very beatitude. He is asking you today, what is the state of your heart? Not the state of your outward, not the estate of what we all see, that tiny 10% of the iceberg we spoke about last week. What is the state of your heart? Is your heart working? Is it refining? Is it filtering? Is it refining and filtering all that comes into you and then proceeds out of you? You can tell how well the heart is working by what comes out. You see, if you want to know about the roots of a tree, check out its fruit, is what Jesus says. So when someone barks at you, do you bark back? Or do you bite your tongue? When your schedule is tight, your to-do list is long, do you lose your cool? Or by grace, keep it under control? When you're offered a morsel of juicy gossip, do you turn it down or pass it along? It all depends on the state of your filter, on the state of your heart. David Pallison at Westminster Seminary, one of my counseling profs, liked to put it this way. He said the heart class is like a glass of water. When someone bumps that glass of water, well, here's my empty coffee cup. Pretend it's full. When someone bumps the glass of water, something's going to come out. It's already there in the cup of water waiting to come out. It's been there for quite some time. It just requires a little bump in life. And then we find out what's there. The heart determines whether you snap back or give back grace. The heart determines whether you blow up or calm down. It's already there. It's already latent and ready and working. It just needs a bump. No wonder the sages of old said, above all, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. No wonder King David prayed, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. No wonder our Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed is the pure in heart. The heart is the command center of our souls, of our lives. If we want to be fruitful and godly and prosperous on the outside, our hearts must be morally and spiritually filtering and working on the inside. Purity of heart means inward moral purity that when bumped, comes spilling out in love. But commentators debate this, and I do agree that Jesus means one more thing. Not only does he mean blessed are those who are moral on the inside, whose moral filters are working, those with the integrity of heart. Blessed is the disciple, says Jesus, who is not play acting. He's always talking about the dangers of play acting in faith towards God. He used that word called hypocrites. Hypocrite was an ancient Greek actor who, instead of trying to act always the part out before a large amphitheater, would put on a mask. And by that mask, you could tell if they were supposed to be good or bad or any other quality. And so what Jesus is saying is, blessed is the disciple who is not pretending. Blessed is the disciple who is not living in the land of make-believe. Blessed is the one who sincerely delights in God through Christ. Now, have you ever wondered if people could really claim to follow Jesus and yet not be sincere? Well, I dare say you can answer that question in Sunday at many churches around the world. Simply put yourself somewhere in the service where you can watch people, and they don't know they're being watched. Shoot, even when you do know you're being watched, it's interesting to watch people. At the end of the service, you could probably discern. Some are wide-eyed and expectant. They're there ready because they want to be there. They're like kids waiting for the gift to be unwrapped. They stand when the king passes. They sit when he speaks. The eyes are focused when royalty walks in the room, our King Jesus. But others yawn when Jesus speaks. Their eyes are a bit glazed. The feet shuffle. The hands doodle. The mouths open, not to sing, but to yawn. No matter how hard they try to stay amazed, their eyes are glazing over. And here's the important part. It is not as if you don't say, today I'm going to become a pretender. Today is the day I'm going to be insincere. All those years of I'm just tired of it all, I'm going to be insincere. Very often, those who struggle with integrity of heart love the church. They know the people. They support the programs. They don't mean to grow stale. They put on their Sunday clothes like everyone else. They come to church that week, and yet something's missing. The one they used to honor hasn't been around in a while. Those who are sincere can't seem to forget him. They find him sometimes in spite of us who are not so sincere. They find him. They brush away our cobwebs and find him. But the rest of us can wander away. Blessed are the sincere. Blessed are those who sincerely are seeking Christ. On to our third point. Why should we want to be pure in heart? Why should we want to be pure in heart? Well, firstly, because purity is a reward in and of itself. Purity is beautiful. Purity is lovely. Purity is blessedness. I don't know about you, but I love to eat off of a clean plate. I don't know about you, when I see photographs of our workers in Asia, I'm glad to breathe clean air. We know what it's like in Flint, Michigan, people just wanting to drink pure water. I love the smell of fresh, clean clothes. And that's an analogy for moral purity. Moral purity is beautiful. It's a reward. It's neat to meet a person who loves with purity. A person who loves with pure motives and not personal gain. It's nice to know people who help with sincerity, not to get something from you, but to give. It's pleasant to meet a faithful husband. It's a joy to meet a chaste and cheerful teenager. It's a wonder to meet an honest politician. It's a delight to do business with a trustworthy business person. People like that are the salt of the earth. They make our communities safe, our homes stable, our schools effective, our governments honest. It's a joy to meet pure people. And it's a joy to have that same kind of purity in our own hearts. Let me ask you a question. What price tag would you pay for a clear conscience? The pleasure of waking up in the morning and not feeling a weight upon your conscience. Do you really want to go to bed at night looking in the mirror only to see a fraud? Do you and I enjoy tossing to and fro in our beds each night knowing that day we cheated and we lied and we chiseled? There's a blessing of having a clean conscience before God and our neighbor. And to one day stand as followers of Christ, knowing that we've not lived a perfect life at all, but we have sought to live with integrity. That's a blessing. The world might mock you as a goody two-shoes, but even the world would love to have your inner peace. Purity is a reward. But secondly, and we see that in this psalm, or this beatitude, purity is rewarded. That's what Jesus says. Blessed are the pure in heart, here it is, because they will see God. Spring break is upon us. Some of you college students are out early and you're flaunting it. We're glad you're out. But think about how much time and energy and money and people spend to go on a beautiful vacation. The Bible teaches that there is nothing more beautiful and lovely than being with God. Seeing God is the greatest joy that any human being can experience. And when we pass from this life into the life to come and we see the face of Jesus, the joy of that first split second will surpass all the accumulated joy you've ever experienced in your entire life. That is why the psalmist could say, "One thing have I desired and asked from the Lord and shall seek, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord." Have you ever daydreamed about having dinner with a hero? Seen a figure in history you'd like to meet? God is infinitely more delightful and wise and eloquent and charming than any person you've ever met or hope to meet. God's presence thrills souls. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever." Purity is rewarded. Well, some of you may say, "Well, when do I get all this reward, all this seeing God delight that Jesus speaks about in this beatitude?" Well, in one sense, for the Christian, this reward begins now. Every time we open this book and we see the life of God in Jesus Christ, you are rewarded. You are seeing God in the person of Jesus Christ. Every time we worship and we see God through the eyes of faith, even though he is unseen, yet we see him, that is a reward. But above all, our full view of God will come later. The Bible says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, then we shall see face to face, and we shall know him even as he is fully known." This brings us to our final point. How can I see God? How can I have purity of heart, and how can I see God? Well, take note from the order of this beatitude. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In other words, purify the heart so that it produces pure blessings. And often in life outside of Christ, we try to do it the other way around. We try to change our outside by change our inside by altering our outsides. our habits, our behaviors, the outer, external world. But Jesus says to start from the inside. And to start from the inside, we need the regenerating work of Jesus to make us born again, to do a divine work within the human soul, that our hearts may be made pure, that we may then see God, that we may be forgiven and enjoy the purity that it brings. So I'm urging you tonight to repent of sin and trust in Christ. God will save you from your sin, and he will day by day sanctify you, cleanse you, take that forgiveness and apply it to your lives day by day, and you will see God. The Bible teaches God justifies the moment we receive Christ by faith and then purifies by the grace of the Spirit over time. But they always go together. And as you walk with Christ, you'll see more purity and more purity of heart until the day when the Holy Spirit is done and he will make you completely holy and fit for heaven, ready to see your Father. So truly, dear church, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us in the 21st century who have fallen into the trap of first century Pharisees into thinking that life is all about image, that we are what we wear, that we are what our physique says we are, that as Jesus warned about in the gospel, that our lives are measured by our possessions, or as the Pharisees practice, by punctilious outward deeds is our life measured. Lord, we confess that we live in an age, even in your church, where we're neglecting the heart more and more. We don't think it matters. We think it doesn't matter what we see on the internet. We think it doesn't matter what we allow an attitude to stay in our hearts and just percolate for a long, long time. As long as nobody sees it, as long as it doesn't show up too often, we think all is well. But Lord, that is not blessedness. Blessedness comes to those who are pure in heart in Christ and grow in that purity by your Holy Spirit. And we begin to see God day by day in special ways reserved only for God's pure in heart. So we pray, O Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, that there would be divine God sightings day by day in our lives. You would remind us that as our heart filters out the world, the flesh, and the devil, and by your grace meditates day and night upon God, that you would open our eyes to a whole new vista of life and grant us hope that one day when our eyes close for their final day, that they will open in the presence of your glory. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Grant us that blessing, we humbly pray, this evening, this week, and in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.